everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, you are in for part two of our 2024 NWSL season preview. On Tuesday's episode, we went through the first seven teams alphabetically in the NWSL, looking at the top line thing that I'm most excited about that team, or the biggest question for them heading into the new season. The regular season for the NWSL kicks off on Saturday, and I am pumped. On today's show, we'll run through the last seven teams in the league, and we'll do it all in less than 10 minutes, because here on the Backheeled Show, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So let's get to it and talk NWSL. All right, folks, before we get into the Orlando Pride to kick off our second preview here on the feed, I want to direct folks over to backheel.com, where we've got more NWSL coverage on the site. We've got JJ Post with a fresh batch of insightful power rankings. We're going to be doing some rankings and some standalone features over on the site for the NWSL this year. Really excited about what we've got cooking over there. And our rankings are going to look beefier than the ones you'll find other places. They'll have more insight into the tactics and trends from around the league. Excited about all of that stuff. But let's get into the Orlando Pride. The big ticket item for them is Barbara Bandit, who arrived from China for the second most expensive transfer fee in women's soccer history after Rachel Kunananji for Bay FC, both Zambian internationals. And Barbara Bandit is a menace up top. Orlando will try to feed her the ball in transition as often as possible. They were mostly a transition team last year and should continue to be one because they don't have the structure under Seb Hines outside of Bandit running behind on the break. They're not a bad team, but Banda turns them into a team that could really contend for stuff this season. She is singular in this league in her ability to streak in behind, and that includes Mallory Swanson and Sophia Smith. Banda is a pure goal threat and will be incredible in this league. She is the player to watch for the Pride, who are all of a sudden a real team to watch in the NWSL in 2024. Now, let's move to the Portland Thorns, who were excellent in the attack last year. They scored 11 more goals than any team in the league last year. Their attack was Sophia Smith, with Olivia Moultrie, with Christine Sinclair still putting in minutes, is phenomenal and is still one of the absolute best in the league. They lost U.S. Women's National Team left back slash midfielder slash she can play anywhere, Crystal Dunn, to Gotham in free agency. They added a couple of pieces in midfield around Sam Coffey and Moultrie to try and strengthen in that part because Dunn does play or did play as a midfielder for this Thorns team. There's plenty of quality in here. The big question for them is the defense. Can they be strong enough to give that attack a real chance to change games rather than just to salvage results? But for me, Portland are in the top tier in the NWSL right now, along with Gotham, who we talked about on Tuesday, and along with the San Diego Wave, who we will get to shortly. This Thorns team has enough talent to go out and do some impressive things, even if they've lost their billing as league favorites to Gotham. Up next is Racing Louisville. They've added Bev Yanez as their head coach, or rather they promoted her from the assistant role now to being the head coach of this team. That's a fun new add, and she seems to have a lot of buy-in from folks inside Louisville and really around the league as well. The big thing for this team that I am fascinated by, and I do mean fascinated, is their midfield. Savannah DeMello was at the World Cup with the U.S. last year, is a really, really good player. Well-rounded in midfield, good set-piece threat, can create for herself and for her teammates. She's the total package in midfield. Maybe not quite a classic number 10, but she can do a bit of everything. Jalen Howell is one of the best destroyers in the world, not just in the NWSL, but in the world. Maybe just the second best after Lena Oberdorf over in Germany. She is incredibly good and discourages players from going anywhere near her. And now they've added in another strong and technical player who brings a different dimension. And Taylor Flint was Taylor Korniak, got married over the offseason. She was traded from the San Diego Wave to Racing Louisville. That three-player midfield is ridiculous. This team has so much quality through the middle that maybe they don't need a ton from their attack. At least that's what Bev Yanez is going to be hoping for. I don't think the attacking difference makers are really there in this squad. But the midfield between their set-piece threat with DeMello, who is maybe the best set-piece server in the league, and Flint, who is the best set-piece threat in the box in the league, gives them a unique advantage. And then you toss in just the sheer quality and control that this team is going to get from the midfield. If they can get Ari Borges and they can get Carson Pickett out wide doing some fun stuff in the attack and get a little bit of goal scoring up top, Louisville will be so much fun to watch in 2024. Let's move to the Seattle Reign, who are in a weird transition period right now. Megan Rapinoe retired, Rose Lavelle, Emily Sonnet over to Gotham, and this team hasn't really replaced those players. They're in the midst of an ownership transition, moving from the OL Group, who now own the Washington Spirit, from Michelle Kang, and there's ties to Lyon over in Europe, and now a club in the second division in England. There's a football group developing that that Seattle Reign are no longer a part of. They're in the process of being sold to an ownership group that will involve the Seattle Sounders, according to reports. And likely with the backdrop of that ownership change, they haven't done a whole lot in terms of their squad. They've added Jisoo Young, former Chelsea player, to Laura Harvey's team. There's quality here. There are good players here. But I don't think this team right now, as their roster stands, has the quality to go and make a run to the NWSL championship like they did last year, despite the fact that they lost to Gotham. There's enough here to do something, and this will be a real test for how much Laura Harvey can do with this group. But I do not think they are in that top tier list of favorites in 2024. San Diego Wave, however, are very much in that category. The floor for this team under Casey Stoney is so incredibly high. Abby Dahlkemper, Naomi Gurma in the back line, Kaylin Sheridan is a phenomenal goalkeeper. Then you add in Alex Morgan, who gives you a good floor in the attack at the number 9 spot, even though she's not the player she used to be. Add in Jaden Shaw, who could be a legitimate MVP candidate if the Wave are towards the top of the table and can go back-to-back with a Shield win and a deep run in the postseason. There's so much to like about Jaden Shaw. One thing I'm watching closely for this team is the midfield shift. So they sent Taylor Flint, who I just mentioned, to Racing Louisville, and they added Savannah McCaskill in free agency, former Angel City string puller. That is a clear sign to me that Casey Stoney is interested in having a bit more control of the ball this season. I don't know if that's going to pan out, and that hasn't really been her MO. That hasn't at all been her MO in the NWSL, Stoney. But maybe we're going to see a little shift with McCaskill and Shaw pulling strings and playing the wingers and Morgan in behind and the fullbacks overlapping. There's a lot to like about what that attack could look like in the final third. We'll see how things actually play out on the field. Two more teams left to go through. Up next, alphabetically, we are hitting the Utah Royals, one of the two new expansion teams coming into the NWSL in 2024. We've seen an NWSL franchise in Utah before. Now they are back. It's good to see them in the NWSL. I don't see it with this squad. However, Amy Rodriguez doesn't have a ton of talent at her disposal. While Bay FC have gone out and been super ambitious and aggressive in how they've signed players and made transfer records and all that stuff, bought into analytics, Utah haven't really done that. Amy Rodriguez seems to be trying to find and create a team full of players that want to give maximum effort, that want to go out there and compete on the field, that have experience winning things in the NWSL. And they're hoping, Utah, that that's going to be enough. And maybe it will be, right? This team's floor could be much higher. I don't know that their ceiling is especially high right now. One player who could change everything for Utah is Allie Centner, who was picked number 1 overall, 20 years old, U.S. Youth International, former North Carolina player. That's where she went to college. You know, we see good pros come out of North Carolina, and Centner is a very, very good player. How she adapts to this front line, how Amy Rodriguez tries to take advantage of her and tries to squeeze a little bit more out of the other players supporting deeper downfield, those are big questions for Utah. Finally, let's hit the Washington Spirit. One of the most interesting teams in the NWSL last year, were disappointing in 2023. They have gone out and ditched Mark Parsons in favor of FC Barcelona manager Jonathan Giraldez, who will take over after Barcelona's season is done. This guy, 32 years old, Spanish coach, has won everything with Barcelona, won the Champions League. He will now lead the Washington Spirit and try to install into this group a possession-based style. That is what they want to do. That's who they want to be. There's been a lot of transition, both on the managerial side, with him not taking over into the summer, Giraldez, and on the player side. Fan favorites Ashley Sanchez and Sam Staub are both gone to North Carolina and Chicago, respectively. Those are big holes to fill, even though Ashley Sanchez was not at her best last year. How they try to take advantage of Ashley Hatch and Trinity Rodman and provide service for those players is sort of an open question. But man, the most interesting stuff here with the Spirit is the tactical side. How they shift from being this 4-4-2 diamond transition pressing team that they were last year to being maybe the league's most patient possession team outside of North Carolina in 2024, we're going to see a real tactical shift even under interim manager Adrian Gonzalez. This team is just straight up going to look different in 2024. All right, folks, that is it for this episode of the Backheeled Show. If you enjoyed, go check out backheeled.com for more NWSL coverage and plenty more American soccer coverage. For now, we will talk to you again next week.